Hi, I'm Hillary Ranga, and we're continuing the process of establishing your registered soul center. And today we're going to talk about a plan. And I'm just going to share with you some of my thoughts on this. There's actually a reading determining your soul center plan that you can just read on your own. But I want to highlight a few of the things. First of all, I want to talk about Stephen. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, we see how the apostles were sharing the ministry of the word. And then we see in chapter 6 that there needed to be a division of labor. Let's just say there needed to be also a soul center that dealt with the needs of the widows. And so those appointed to that soul center, again, I'm storing this into, you know, our organization, those storied into it were credentialed ministers. So Stephen was one of them. So he was often also mentioned as one of the 70. So he already was with Jesus. He was a credentialed leader in the minds and the hearts of the apostles. He had gone through the educational structure of all of these things. And now he was appointed as a minister, credentialed, that is, now. So he gets credentialed with his soul center and the other men's soul center work, that is the needs of the widows. Philip is also included in that number. But we see in Acts that was not it, that there was a role, and they were now credentialed ministers, so they took that to the next level. And next thing you know, we're seeing that he is preaching before the Sanhedrin, the leaders, and we see he becomes the first martyr. So he had a very specific responsibility. Let's call it the Widow Soul Center. But as a credentialed minister, he also started to have another circle of influence that he went forward with and became the first martyr. We see the same with Philip. He's one of the deacons, so he's got his responsibility isn't the ministry of the word specifically until it's not long when it's as if he also expands out and he develops an evangelism soul center, and he's ministering to the Ethiopian eunuch, and next thing you know, Christianity spreads to Ethiopia. And then you can look at this pattern, and later Philip has a soul center in Caesarea, has four daughters who prophesy, and there's stories in early church history about these daughters and their work in Christianity. So this soul center is there, a church, but it's also a education center, and there's all sorts of ministry that goes on. Now, what I'm doing here is not saying that they called them soul centers. I'm not saying that these were formalized. But I am saying that in the early church, there was a diversity of ways in which the gospel went forward. The first, we even see this in the book of Acts, you know, they met in their homes, okay? So house churches. They met for teaching, you know, the apostles' teaching. You know, was at a larger gathering. We do know later Paul is preaching in a house and somebody falls off the second floor and, you know, is dead and he's raised from the dead, Eutychus. So, you know, there's the school of Tyrannus. You know, there is the apostles who are, they seem to have like a healing practice, the lame walk. You know, so they have a ministry practice. You see the Apostle Paul working, and he is associated with Priscilla and Aquila, and he has a soul center practice in the tent making work working area. So now the question Now, again, this is 2020s here, and we're establishing soul centers, you know, religious organizations that acknowledge the creation of a religious soul, and so bodies and spirits and the minds, the hearts, and the attitudes of people are all that which have a religious nature. And so each of you have different gifts. So you're registering your gift, your calling to be geographically impacting as a credentialed minister. Okay? So that's what this is all about now. We have many models and examples, and this organization was not thought out in the first century, but the inspiration for this, given this day, this time, this is what these soul centers are all about. So, how do you develop your specific soul center? Well, number one, there are many ways to minister in a community. So, as you think about your gifts, your calling, we have in the assignment there or the reading, all kinds of suggestions for what a soul center could look like and at different levels. I'll talk about that in a little bit. So, how do you determine that? You know, and that, I know that's been asked already. How does someone determine what soul center they should start or maintain? In a lot of ways, I go back to your calling, your interest. Or let's say you're here, you know you're called into ministry and you're going down the path of a credentialed leader. What interests you? Maybe there's a specialization that interests you. I've talked with so many leaders, so many of our leaders, and it amazes me the differing credentials of the specializations that interest them. Many of them that come out of their experience of God's grace. How many people would like to work with those who are leaving alcohol and addictions because they themselves went down that trail? How many people are wanting to reach homeless because they understood at one time they were homeless? How many people came to Christ in a certain way, and now in that certain way, they want to bring the redemption? Then they take the specialization, and they're all in for starting a soul center along that specialization. Sometimes things just interest you because the Holy Spirit has put that on your heart, irregardless of any background in that area. So, ask these questions. Maybe is your soul center going to be completely voluntary? For my wife Pam and I, our Victorious Life Fellowship is completely voluntary. Some of you may say, you know, if I could have a little extra income to support my family, I'm on a retirement income, but a little extra income would really help. Is there a soul center that operates in that way? Some of you have extensive training in a place like psychology, already are counselors, but now you want to also have a spiritual, that is, the full holistic soul understanding of this, and you already have a counseling profession practice, and now you want to offer a soul center flavor to your existing practice. Why not? Some of you are, maybe you're worship leaders, you're writing songs, and maybe you want to, maybe you have a YouTube channel, maybe you're a musician. You know, why couldn't a top Christian musician who sells, you know, thousands of records and is on YouTube with millions of likes not also be a credentialed minister? So as a credentialed minister, or you're writing music as a credentialed minister and leader, and now you're helping others. You have a soul center of music impact online, but you come out of it, or you lead out of it as a credentialed minister. you know, I think about, like, societies, religious societies have specific practices, and in those practices for the soul centers are all around the Word of God in prayer. There's the traditional practices of Christianity, communion, there's the sacraments, all of that you've been now credentialed to be able to share. There are certain oaths, you know, that's the whole concept of being efficient, you know, in many ways that's an aspect of it. We're weddings, and officiating is bringing God into a ceremony. You know, there could be all sorts of ways in which you do that. So maybe you will be an officiant. Maybe you'll be a ministry chaplain. Maybe you'll be a committed, licensed, ordained minister. Now, we have a list of all kinds of ideas, and it's endless. And we put some in the fellowship center, soul centers, and there's could be anything from a hospitality one. I love something like that. What if you just started a hospitality soul center, and the whole point is to invite people over, your neighbors over, to have a dinner with you, open the Bible up and pray, and talk about the Lord, and while you're talking about the Lord, you can announce that you are a credentialed minister. And I remember many times where I would invite someone over, even a professor, an atheist professor from one of my kids' college classes, this was years ago. And I'd say, you know, I'm a minister, and it is our custom to pray and read the Bible. And I knew this couple were professing atheists, and I asked permission, is that okay? And I prayed, I read the Bible briefly. Well, the next 2.5 hours after that prayer, this atheist couple were asking one professor one question after another about Christianity, about belief, about how they have two daughters and everything is bankruptcy with them. And so here I was planting seeds just out of the ministry of hospitality. But you can see there's all sorts of possible roles. Maybe you are interested in being a wedding officiant and have a business. I tell you, in ministry biz, I've seen this where some of our leaders are out there, they're credentialed, you know, doing 500 weddings in the last several years. Think about the boots on the ground for the topic of Christian marriage. Maybe it's a soul center practice, and you're going to offer to the community a soul health place. You know, maybe it's combined with a coffee shop, and then they know that you are a credentialed minister, and you have little brochures about various topics, stuff that you learned here at Christian Leaders Institute, and you're credentialed now in a specialization. All sorts of potential ways to start up a soul center, you know, ministry practice and counseling. Oh, just what a great time to be alive. I wish in the 1980s that I had this concept. There were so many parishioners in my first church. I remember they were so gifted in so many areas, but I was the minister. No, they just need a little training, and they could have started soul centers. You know, one of the things that I'm thinking about right now, back up to fellowship centers, is this concept of, I think after COVID, a lot of people stopped going to church. Well, what if the soul center's purpose, it was a fellowship center, is to get people accountable to go back to church? I know our Victorious Life Soul Center has that. We are in a little condo association, and we actually drive a car now. It's filled with people that go to Harborside Church. So we're a Victorious Life Soul Center. We're part of a Sunday worship service. We invite people to go to it, and we try to get one car. And my goal is to get another car and another car to attend church again. And I've got one buddy, for instance, who used to attend this church years ago. COVID hit. Well, you know, part of my Victorious Life Soul Center purpose is to, you know, get like a little community of people who go to Harborside Church. again, these are all ways in which we can all come together. We all have something. I have no time to plant a church right now. I have no time to prepare for a worship service. I'm busy at Christian Leaders. But I have a little time for my little soul center to influence people, to be part of the, sharing of the gospel. You know, maybe, you know, that I ever hear church placement services. That's, in a sense, what I'm doing is I'm doing church matching or church attending accountability. Maybe you would like to do officiating services. You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is how many people have their credential here and now work for a funeral home to do funeral messages. They meet with the family. They impact lives. Their soul center is a part-time funded soul center by the income, but they love giving hope in the light of death. And funeral homes are looking for effective officiants to help them because people are looking for hope. I mean, there's so many, this navigating conflict services, Brian DeCook, what a resource we have here to have a navigating conflict practice in your community or offer services in those areas. I love this matchmaker concept. We have a specialization in that area. I can see a matchmaker in a large church then talks to the other churches and you get a kind of confidential database, or maybe it goes the other way is you're going to help someone do online dating and help them and be a confidential prayer supporter. And this could be a volunteer thing, a part-time thing. I just think as we start thinking creatively, what could this turn into? Family services, pre-born advocacy ministry. Oh, I believe some of these issues, if we get a soul centers, that whole point is to advocate pro-life. Wow, adoption services, dealing with addiction issues, such things as alcohol, pornography, food, other church planting. Church planting is, to me, one of the most incredible things, and all of these things are taught here at Christian Leaders Institute. There are ministries, and there's a long list of ministry opportunities there. And I want to mention about a mentor center to just train others and raise them up to be leaders, credentialed leaders, and then open a soul center. Why not mobilize other ministers and mobilize them to have geographic ministries? So, you know, as you get your plan forward, this is really between you and the Lord, your spouse, what interests you, all of these things. And at Christian Leaders Alliance, in this soul center, you can start out small, just at a fellowship level. You're just starting. You're seeing what is the Holy Spirit saying to do. You're not sure. Some of you, I've seen it in these last years at Christian Leaders. It's incredible what people come in for training. They don't think anything's going to happen. And now they are running a new church. That's a soul center. They started with a house church. Now they're running a church. And there's more examples like that. Or they've gone to existing churches. And you can register as a soul center, an existing church where everybody signs on and says, yeah, we want to be part of this network. You know, there are so many opportunities. And now as we see that spirit of the book of Acts, where the gospel is going forward through Pentecost, this is how I see soul centers. These are local opportunities where you can register your religious society as a volunteer, part-time, or maybe full-time income. I'm not sure. It could be in a fellowship size. It could be in a practice. It could be a weighing efficient ministry. It could be any other ministry. It could be a house church, a church. It could be a mentor center. But whatever the Lord places on your heart, this is an opportunity for you to take your next step in making Jesus glorified, or just, it's kind of not a good way, but making Jesus glorified. He is glorified. I guess it's this, taking your next step for making an impact in your local community, online, wherever, that Jesus Christ is proclaimed and the gospel goes forward through all of the earth.